The SOH Network presents AsiaCast, keeping you across the top headlines from the Asia Pacific.
For the SOH News Roundup, week ending Friday, July 15th, I'm Rich Crankshaw with AsiaCast. In this bulletin, Beijing's glory projects turning sour, grow your own taking off in Chinese cities, Tibetans jailed for celebrating Dalai Lama's birthday, and Malaysia defends heavy-handed reaction to protests. But first, our SOH focus on China. A new highway in China's Yunnan province collapsed just 2 days after it opened. The Xinsan Highway, stretching some 90 kilometers in one of Chinese Communist Party's glory projects. It was set to be unveiled for the Communist Party's 90th anniversary on July 1st. But despite warnings from the construction team that they were being rushed, the deadline was absolute. Then heavy rains crumbled the earth beneath the roads, washing a section of it into the valley below, killing 2 people and injuring 2 more. This isn't the only setback for projects rushed to completion before the July 1st anniversary. The new Beijing-Shanghai high-speed rail had its second power failure Tuesday, July 12th, just 2 weeks after it was launched. And the world's largest sea bridge in Qingdao, also opened for the July 1st anniversary, was criticized after lighting and safety barriers weren't completed. A recent string of food safety scandals have prompted some health-conscious Beijing residents to boycott the markets and grow their own produce by renting land on local farms. The owner of one farm told NTD he started offering vegetable plots for rent at the beginning of the year, charging about $300 a year for each space. And so far, business is good with 100 plots of land rented out. One of the farm's customers said there was no way of telling what had been added to the food in the city. But at the vegetable garden, the farmer checks before using any fertilizers on the vegetables and is under clear instructions to only use natural plant food. Many city dwellers now drive as much as an hour out to their urban farms on the weekends, collecting enough vegetables to last their family through the week. Coming this summer to theaters across China is the state-sponsored movie Beginning of the Great Revival. And by state mandate, it will be a box office smash, making at least $124 million U.S. The movie is a commemoration of the Communist Party's 90th anniversary, but ticket sales aren't exactly as high as planned. So state-run companies have been required to book entire theaters for their employees and family members to go see it. Theaters have come up with a creative way to reconcile the movie's lukewarm reception and with the mandate to sell tickets. They're putting sales through the computer for Beginning the Great Revival, but then handwriting the tickets of popular movies on top. Even with such creative marketing, though, the movie has fallen short of its desired box office. It's made only about $50 million since its opening. SOH takes a look across the wider Asia-Pacific region. 13 Tibetans, several of them young, have been sentenced to prison in Sichuan's Garzi Tibetan Autonomous Prefecture, west of Chongqing. Their crime: attempting to publicly celebrate the exiled Dalai Lama's 76th birthday. The Voice of Tibet reported 2 of the Tibetans received 3-year prison terms from the Intermediate People's Court. The 2 are 19-year-olds and had been beaten by Chinese police after their peaceful protest on June 24th. China's ruling party regards the birthday as a sensitive date and imposed restrictions on public gatherings in Lhasa, Tibet's capital. The Tibetan demonstrations seek the return of the Dalai Lama, religious freedom, and Tibetan autonomy. Many Tibetans assert that China is waging a cultural genocide against them. Coming up on AsiaCast, Malaysia defends heavy-handed reaction to protests, Taiwanese ethnic group demonstrates seafaring credentials, and world's oldest stone axe unearthed in Australia. First, SOH Network's Shen Yun quote of the day. Physician Forrest Tennant saw Shen Yun perform at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium.
The thing that strikes me about this is the precision and also, you know, I'm used to ballet, but there they do a combination of ballet. Plus, it looks like running track and field, the way they go running around, and the way they do their acrobatics is truly amazing. They'll do their flips without using their hands. So, to me, it's a great exhibition of athleticism and dance and music. It's truly remarkable. I've never seen anything quite like it. It looks very difficult and you have to have great talent to do it. As a young man, I did some dancing and some acrobatics and tap dancing, and I actually know a little bit about it, and that's why I know how good they really are.
Okay. Yeah. Then, so, how about
I highly recommend this to anybody that would want to see it.
Brilliant, glorious, inspiring. Shen Yun Performing Arts brings to life classical Chinese dance and music in a gloriously colorful and exhilarating show, part of a 20-country world tour. The SOH Network is a proud sponsor of Shen Yun Performing Arts. For tickets and information, visit shenyunperformingarts.org.
You are listening to AsiaCast from the SOH Network.
Back with the rest of today's AsiaCast, I'm Rich Crankshaw. Australia's quarantine control have been blasted after 600 tons of dirt slipped through their net. It was supposed to be fertilizer. The fertilizer was ordered through a supplier listed on a Chinese website of accredited companies by a group of farmers in western New South Wales. But because the material was shipped in bags of under 50 kilograms, they were not inspected by customs. It was only when the farmers finally received the bags that it was discovered they contained soil. One senator asked, "If you could put 34 containers of earth through customs and quarantine, that's actually supposed to be fertilizer, what else can you put through?" Malaysia Sunday, July 10th, defended its use of violence the day before to quell demonstrations in the capital. Police beat protesters, used water cannons and tear gas against protesters calling for electoral reform. The police announced via Facebook over 1,600 people had been arrested. Reports vary widely regarding how many people participated in the rally. Media reports put the figure at 20,000, while the event organizer, the Coalition for Clean and Fair Elections, said there were around 50,000 people. Police reported that between 5,000 and 6,000 were in the streets. Human rights groups have condemned the state's heavy-handed reaction to the protests. India's Home Minister said Thursday, July 14th, the authorities received no warnings about the three deadly blasts that rocked Mumbai Wednesday, July 13th. The Home Minister added, while suspicion fell on a homegrown organization, no one had yet claimed responsibility and no one had been ruled out. The attacks at the height of the evening rush hour killed 18 people and injured 131. It was the first major assault in India's largest city since the 2008 siege by Pakistani gunmen. The authorities maintained breakdown in intelligence and security did not contribute to the attacks. But Mumbai residents and some security experts disagree, saying the government hasn't learned from past attacks. On a lighter note, researchers in Malaysian Borneo have rediscovered a toad not observed in the wild for decades. Last seen 87 years ago, the Bornean rainbow toad was found in forests in the Gunung Penrasin mountain range in Sarawak State. The scientists said the find was significant because amphibians are indicators of environmental health with direct implications for human health. Their research was part of a wider lost amphibian research launched by Conservation International and the International Union for the Conservation of Nature last year. Members of one of Taiwan's ethnic minority groups completed Saturday, July 16th, an 800-kilometer voyage from the southeast coast of the north of Taiwan in a traditional boat. The trip took 15 days to complete, with oarsmen working in shifts of 18 at a time. At 11 meters long, their wooden canoe was the largest balangay built by the Aboriginal Dao people of Taiwan's Orchid Island for 100 years. Clad in their traditional loincloths, the oarsmen received a warm welcome when they pulled into Taipei Wednesday, July 13th, some 60 kilometers from their final destination. The trip was conceived as a way for the Dao to share their culture with the people of Taiwan. Archaeologists in Australia discovered the oldest ground-edge tool in the world. The basalt axe piece was found in May in Arnhem Land, an isolated Aboriginal reserve in Australia's Northern Territory. The stone tool fragment measures 4 centimeters in length and has been radiocarbon dated to 35,000 years old. It is a significant find as it predates the oldest known examples of other ground-edge implements from Japan and Australia by at least 5,000 years. The research was part of a 5-year project aiming to discover, document, and date art and artifacts in the region. The findings will be published next month in Australian Archaeology. Rich Crankshaw, SOH Network.
AsiaCast, keeping you across the top headlines from the Asia Pacific.